Are you ready?
Yes.
You know, there are some, they call them Christians. They're kind of Christianity. They have straw. You know what they call straw? That thing they use in making baskets. They have straw at their back, at the backbone. They cannot stand. They don't understand that a Christian is a Bible believer. That a Christian is something, is somebody that knows the Bible, learns the Bible, loves the Bible, and lives by the Bible. All they can think about: prayer, miracle, healing. When it comes to teaching, they say, I'm going to go to sleep. They're going to quote so many verses, I will lose my way. That's why they are always weak. They are not strong. They cannot stand. This is going to be a session of Bible teaching. If you are afraid of the Bible, you better run away now. I'm going to open this Bible and I will inject you with Bible. You know, they want to turn our church to shallow life celebration church. Dancing and dancing and dancing. This one is deeper. Life Bible church. And anywhere I go deep into that Bible. Where are you? Are you ready? Are you the one going to run away when I look down, I say, chapter such, the fellow is gone. You will stay. Where are you? I said you will stay. That's what will make you strong. I will be strong. Tell me. I will be strong. If you already close your eyes and tell the Lord. And you yourself, you will pray. Pray for yourself. And tell the Lord that you will be strong. You're listening to the word of God. The teaching of the word will not terrify you or make you afraid. You will listen. You will learn. You will live by the word of God. And your life will bring glory to God. I can't hear you pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you at this time. We thank you because you've called us yourself. And we want to live by your word. We pray that everyone here will listen to your word. Will embrace your word. Will swallow this word. Will drink in this word. And the grace to live by the word you give unto us in Jesus' name. We'll be strong believers in Christ. living by the totality of the revelation of the word of God. Inject us with your power. Strengthen every believer that we will be stable and solid and strong in the word. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Thank you very much. We can sit down. We're looking at John chapter 8. And I'm reading from verse 30 and verse 31. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Underline that word, disciples. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. John chapter 13. I'm reading from verse 34. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, underline that, ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. The teaching is the great privilege of Christ's disciples. The church is divided into two. I mean the worldwide church. I mean the visible church. I mean the conglomeration, the congregation, the assembly, the people that call themselves Christians, part of the church. There are those who say they are Christians, they don't have Christ, they don't have the word of Christ, they don't have the proof that they have visited Calvary. But there are real Christians. They've been to Christ. They've been to Calvary. They have received the power of the cross in their lives. They have the evidence that Christ is living in them. The evidence that Christ is walking out his will, fulfilling his word through their lives. Saved, sanctified, saturated with scripture, steadfast in the Lord, spirit-filled, spirit-controlled, and spirit-directed, supernaturally drawn and attached to Christ. They are spirit-filled to the point the Spirit controls and directs their lives. The word of Christ is number one in their lives. They love that word. They learn that word. They listen to that word. They are living by that word. They are following Christ step after step. That's the part of the church that Christ reckons with. They are the disciples of Christ. You want to make your choice today. If you want to be superficial, you want to be shallow, you want to be secular, you want to be sense directed, that's your choice. You are attached, affiliated with the church, but you are not part of the church in reality. Or you want to be a real disciple. You are saved. You are scriptural. You are supernaturally attracted to Christ, living in Christ, abiding in Christ. You are guided by His word. You are controlled by His spirit. You are focused on eternity. You know there is a destiny in front of you. You want to live such a life, you are rapturable. Those are the disciples of Christ. The great privilege of Christ's disciples. Three things we're going to talk about. Number one, the identity of Christ's disciples. How do you identify them? How do you know them? How can you mark them out? How can somebody see you and say, that is one of the disciples of Christ? The identity of Christ's disciples. Number two, the inheritance of Christ's disciples. You come into the kingdom. He inherits you, and you inherit everything He has. He possesses you, and you possess everything He has. He owns you without any reservation, and you own everything He has without limitation. The inheritance of Christ's disciples. Number three, the incorruptibility of Christ's disciples. Satan has a lot of cohorts, followers, emissaries that he sends out to corrupt the people that go to church, but the disciple is incorruptible. He may send a Jezebel to corrupt you. If you are just a church goer, I hear that they are going, I am going. Jezebel will corrupt you. He may send Potiphar's wife after you. If you are just a church goer, are you deeper? I am deeper also. They are going, I am going. Call me brother so and so. Why do you just call me ordinary name? Don't you know I am deeper? Those who are deeper in name. Potiphar's wife is looking at you. It will shake you like unshakable basket. If you don't have the real reality, if you don't have the real sin, the grace, the godliness, the glory, if you don't have the salvation, the sanctification, the saturation with the word and the spirit of God, Potiphar's wife will sift every little thing you have out of you, because you are not a real disciple. Simon the sorcerer will offer you money. They will corrupt you with money if you're not a real disciple. The incorruptibility of Christ's disciples. Show them money. They say, money, what's money? We have inheritance in heaven. Let Potiphar's wife come. Don't I look interesting to you? Jesus is more interested. Get out of my way. Those are the disciples of Christ. They will try to corrupt you with position. Position in the world. Position in wherever. Come and have chieftaincy title. I have more than that already. We are kings and priests in the kingdom of God. If you are a real disciple, no chieftaincy title, political title, or anything will corrupt you. You say, I am a disciple of Christ. That's enough for me. Number one, the identity. Number two, the inheritance. Number three, the incorruptibility of Christ's disciples. Number one, tell me. Talk like a preacher. Number one, the identity of Christ's disciples. Who do you call disciples? How do you identify disciples? What do disciples look like? Matthew chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 19 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 19, verse chapter 4, verse 19. And he said unto them, follow me, not follow them. Follow me, not follow Peter. Follow me, not follow Mary. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. There are some people, why are you doing what you are doing? Sister so-and-so is doing it, I'm following her. Why are you going the way you are going? Brother so-and-so is doing that, I'm following him. Jesus said, follow me. And I, not Peter, not Augustine, not Mary, not whoever, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they straightway left their nets and followed him. And you know somebody who is a disciple? He has left his sin, is following the Savior. He has left the idol, is following Christ, the Son of God. He has left occultism in every form, for any reason, he is following Christ, the very Son of God. He has left religion. He is following the righteous one. How do you know a disciple? He has left the past and is following Christ who is coming in the future. John chapter 8. I'm reading from verse 12. John 8 verse 12. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The darkness he's talking about is the darkness of occultism, the darkness of idol worship, the darkness of juju. When they're looking for children, when they're looking for a new job, when they're looking for position, when they're looking for this or that, a real disciple will not leave the light and leave Christ and go behind one shed somewhere, bowing down to powerless power because he wants a child, because he wants a wife, because he wants anything. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He'll have the light of life. A so-called pastor wanting a large church, a big church, will not go behind the scene and is doing juju on something and is burying something in the ground. They say that so that it will bring many, many people. That's not working for God. You cannot do the work of God with the instrument of Satan. You walk in the light. You live in the light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And whether we are there or not, whether we see you or not, you are a transparent person. You are a visible person. You are a person that is walking in the daylight. Whatever you will not do in the daylight, you will not do behind a closed door. In 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. He suffered to give us salvation. And his suffering is enough for our salvation. He suffered to give us sanctification. Jesus Christ, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered without the gate. And his suffering is sufficient for sanctification. For hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. That ye should follow his steps. The pleasure of sin is gone. The pursuit of sin is gone. The accommodation of sin and the tolerating of sin and the pampering of sin and the hiding of sin and the loving of sin, the affection for sin, all that is gone. Making way for sin in your life or making way for sin in another person's life, all that is canceled. A disciple wants to live in the light. He wants to walk in the light. He suffered for us that we should follow his steps. A disciple will ask himself, ask herself the question, whether it's in your private life, in your public life, what will Christ do? That's what you do. There is a situation and you are called to say something. What will Christ say? That's what you say. They're having a family meeting and they're deciding that everybody will contribute this, contribute that for the, you know, worship of idol, ancestral spirit or whatever. They say, what do you say? Whatever Christ will say. Association of farmers. Association of traders. Association of market women. Association of tailors. Association of whatever. They want to contribute money so that the masquerade will come out, and so that we will do this and this, so that there will be plenty, there will be prosperity in our community. What do you say? You don't say anything. What will Christ say? You are going to pay dowry. And they say, in this family, the papa, the grandpa, or whatever, he was the carrier of the community tribal idol. If you're going to marry anybody from here, and you are going to succeed in the marriage, and you're going to have children, you must sacrifice this. If you can't sacrifice, bring the money. We will do it for you. What will you do? Whatever Christ will do, that's what a disciple will do. As you look at all this yourself, it will be very clear to you. It is not everybody that comes to church. It's not everybody that goes to a camp meeting. It's not everybody that goes to whatever congregation that is a real disciple. We only have a few that are going to make it to the final day. The decision is in your hand. Are you just a church goer or a disciple? Saved, that's a disciple. Sanctified, that's a disciple. Saturated with scripture, that's a disciple. Steadfast in learning the word, living by the word, that's a disciple. Spirit directed, spirit controlled, and spirit taught, and spirit influenced, and spirit inspired, that's a disciple. The one who is living in the flesh, living for the pleasures of the flesh, planning for the pleasures of the flesh, thinking about the pleasures of the flesh, and is flesh controlled. Oh, that's not a disciple, that's just a church goer. That's superficial. Point number two. The inheritance of Christ's disciples. Mark chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 28. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. we have left all, we have followed thee. Let me ask you a question. If somebody should ask you, since you say you are a Christian, you are a believer, you are a disciple, give us item by item, one point after the other, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on, what you have left, what will you say? Sin, you have not left. Covetousness, you have not left. Pride, you have not left. Your past life, you have not left. Bad habit, you have not left. Old boyfriend, you have not left. Old sin partner, you have not left. Idol, you have not left. Waistband, you have not left. Lying, you have not left. How come you claim to be a disciple? Look, we have left all and we follow thee. You must be able to say, that one I left and I never went back to take it up again. Look at verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left some. We have left many things. What is it? All. And we have followed thee. Lord, I've left much, but it's just this. Cigarette is my problem. If I count what I've left, it's much, but only this cigarette. You've not left all. Only this palm wine, Lord, it's my weakness. You've not left all. It's only that lady wanted to marry me before I really got married, and even though I didn't marry her, she would not leave me alone. And honestly, I love her. Lord, have mercy on me. That's the only person I've not left. You're not a disciple. Don't tell me you're a disciple. Lord, this is between me. My husband must not hear this one. I've left all the men, but there's a particular man, and the man, you know, he writes to me, and we communicate, and really, if I would say the truth, I have affection for him. I'm married. Nobody must know this. You've not left all. Don't tell me you're a disciple. I am deeper. The only thing is that salary cannot carry you far. These days we're living. That's the only thing. That's the only thing. When I finish building my house and I finish, buy the car, I will leave all that bribery and corruption. But as at now, Lord, you know, have mercy. I cannot give up that bribe. You're not a disciple. You're just a churchgoer. Lo, we have left all and we have followed thee. Verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that has left, look at this, house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother. What's the next word there? Plural or singular? Plural or singular? wife or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's sake. How many wives does he expect a disciple to have? If you are sure, tell me. Do you know all these people that they say, gospel, gospel, we're ministers of the gospel? I don't know about that. They have one wife here, another wife there, another wife there. They're still preachers, ministers of the gospel. Don't tell me that. You're not a disciple. If they don't have multiple wives themselves, they know that this man has multiple wives. And because they want to keep him in their church, they give him position. You are pastor. You are assistant pastor. Pastor, I cannot be a pastor now because I have to. Forget about that. Why? We are the people. I say that you are assistant pastor. Kneel down. And then they pour oil on them. I ordain you from this day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You are pastor. You're deceiving the people. This deceiver will go to the same hell that those they deceive that they're going to. One man, one wife, children do us part. It tells us very clearly. Look at something here. Look at the next verse here, verse 30. I'm going to read this verse two times. I'll tell you why. I want you to find a word that is missing. Something you find in verse 29, which you don't find in verse 30. They are forsaking this, 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 and this, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. Houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. There is a word missing there. What word is that? Wives. You're a believer, you have one wife. Because you're a disciple. Your wife says, I'm not going to accept that madness with religion with you. And because of your being a disciple, your wife says, I will not go with you. And you say, well, if you don't want to go, don't go. I will surprise you. God will give me a miracle. We have women in our church. I will surprise you. I will not even have only one. People who are more beautiful than you are. Then you come to pastor. I told my wife. She said she will not follow me. I told her I will claim a miracle. What miracle are you going to claim? At least if I can have only three. Three of these sisters that are saying they are praying for the will of God and they are getting late. Give me three of them. I will teach my wife a lesson. Which church is that? In Deeper Life? God forbid. What are you? I said God forbid. The wife in verse 29, Jesus said, I'll give you lands, I'll give you materials, I'll give you this, this, and this, except another wife. Your wife is still alive, go reconcile with her. I will pray for you, the wife will come back. But look at the inheritance of the disciple. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. I will inherit. I said I will inherit. You know, they think that if we're disciples, it means that we're going to live in poverty. I cancel poverty from your life. The inheritance of Christ's disciples in this life, an hundredfold. What are you? An hundredfold. I said, what are you? An hundredfold. Houses, give me a good amen there. Brethren, a good amen there. Sisters, a good amen there. Mothers, a good amen there. Hey, something here. I said something here. What's the next thing there? Children. Miracle children in Jesus' name. And lands in Jesus' name. Point number three. The incorruptibility of Christ's disciples. You know, there are people that do not know the stand of a disciple. They are always bending at every wind. They cannot say, I have made up my mind to live righteous and holy. Nothing will change my decision. You remember the cross? I love my Jesus. My Jesus loves me. No circumstances will change my decision. Joseph was in a foreign land. He was working with Potiphar. And the wife of Potiphar set eyes on him. He wanted to corrupt him. And he didn't even use a kind of coded language. It's not like insinuation. Direct. He said, come on. Come and do this. And Joseph said, not me. Disciples know where to take their stand. And she kept on every day. But Joseph kept on refusing. And you ask a so-called brother. Brother, we heard that in your office you went into this with one madam there or whatever. Pastor, if you know the problem, if you know the pressure that woman put upon me, in fact, I couldn't know myself again. You're not a disciple. Joseph said, never. Eventually, he said, how can I do this and sin against my God? And the woman will not give up. And she was a married woman. Can you think of that? And one day, held the clothes of Joseph. Joseph said, you can have my clothes, you will not take my conscience. And he ran away. The incorruptibility of Christ's disciples. Jezebel will not corrupt you. Potiphar's wife will not corrupt you. All these people that are dangling and dancing or whatever, they will not corrupt you in Jesus' name. Sometimes it's not women, it's money. Some people cannot see money and take their stand. When somebody is doling to them a little amount of money every time, anything that fellow tells them to do, they are gone. Money takes away their conscience. Simon came to Peter and said, have this and give me this power, that on whosoever I lay my hand, he will receive the Holy Ghost. Peter said, your money perish with you. Who do you think we are? I have the Holy Ghost. I have Jesus. I have God. I have eternal life. I have the promises of God. It's you that will come and corrupt me with money. Let your money perish with you. What do you have? Don't you count your blessing and understand whatever they are trying to offer you is nothing in comparison with what you have. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile or corrupt himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile or corrupt himself. I pray that purpose of heart will be in your life. Number one, the identity of Christ's disciples. Number two, the inheritance of Christ's disciples. Number three, the incorruptibility of Christ's disciples. You will be a disciple. You must be a disciple. And you must reflect and show the life of the disciple. The Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. Where are you? Stand up and tell the Lord that you will be a disciple. Come with me. Come with me. You will be a disciple. You will not be corrupted. You will not be sidetracked. You will not be deceived. You will not be pressured into a life of compromise. Be a disciple.